Truth met Benita Vergatini.
8 tot 10, Smile, 90.4 FM.
Joining us to weigh in on the events stemming out of the Ukraine and whether we're on the precipice of another world war is John Strimlau, Honorary Professor of International Relations at the University of the Witwatersrand. Professor, good evening. Was it expected what transpired this morning in Ukraine?
It was expected by Joe Biden, the president of the U.S. He's been warning about a full invasion repeatedly for several weeks based on U.S. intelligence. And it's very depressing. It's a throwback to the 19th century, and it's power politics in its rawest form. And it certainly contradicts all of the principles that Africa has held dear, which is that you change territorial frontiers only by political agreement and diplomacy, not by and you hopefully aggregate and integrate like the European Union or the African Union is trying to do, but you don't conquer a sovereign neighbor, and that's what Putin has done as of last night and this morning.
What is the eventual goal here? Because there are some reports suggesting that Russia doesn't want to occupy the Ukraine, so why the attack?
Those reports, and you can't believe anything that Putin says, except that he has made it clear for years that he holds a grudge, that he feels the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest catastrophe of the 20th century, as he says, and therefore he wants to rebuild a buffer zone of Eastern Europe satellites. Putin has never, ever lived under anything like a democracy, and he controls Russian people with an iron fist. Whether they'll rise up at some point or whether they'll coup him at some point, God only knows, but he's in power now. He's changed the Constitution to 2036. So he is hell-bent on getting the Ukraine under his control. And then what happens to Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, which are members of NATO? And will he try to strong-arm them and also risk another war? I don't think you can jump to a world war. It certainly is not the case that the U.S. or NATO is sending any troops to Ukraine, which is not a NATO member. So this is really a test of whether or not Putin wants to incur the sanctions and the wrath of the rest of the world, because everyone seems to be appalled by this naked exercise of force, except for the propaganda and the deceptions and provocations that Putin is able to do, like a good old apparatchik that he was. I used to go to the Soviet Union often in exchange programs, trying to build some mutual understanding of risks and conflict resolution and prevention. But I know this character very well, and I don't like it.
Boris Johnson, the UK PM, called him the Russian dictator, the EU as well as NATO, in their condemnation, and saying that they are going to institute sanctions. Well, they are going to be presenting a sanctions proposal. How effective will it be against the Russian economy?
Well, the Russian economy is only $1.5 trillion, and the European Union is $17 trillion, and the U.S. is $21 trillion. So it's a small economy. It's a petrol state, and this is going to impact on petroleum, and it's also going to impact to some extent on grain, because Ukraine exports a lot of grain. This may help South African producers. Gold is already spiking, so that's helping South African gold producers. But at the pump, we're going to hit a real hit because petroleum is over $100 a barrel now. So we're not quite sure how this is going to play out economically, but I do want to say that it's not only the Europeans who have spoken out. Martin Kimani, the Kenyan ambassador to the UN, gave a very eloquent testimonial to how this assault against a sovereign independent state, which has some affinity through cultural and historic reasons of the peoples of those states, just like African states, but that you don't break those rules, and he really did make plain that this is an offense to all of Africa as well, and I think it is.
How dependent is Europe on Russian oil and gas?
Well, it's going to make it very expensive. You know, the Nord Stream 2, already Chancellor Scholz had said that they were going to reassess the certification. Now, that's frozen, and Nord Stream 1 will probably be frozen. And the Germans were trying to use gas to to transition to a green economy, and they were buying an awful lot of it. It seemed like a good interdependent relationship between Russia and Germany. But Germany's going to have to suck it up, and there's not a lot of extra petroleum around, even though the U.S. is promising to press the other producers of the world, and it's good for African energy producers, of course, and that the U.S. is going to release its stockpiles. But I think there is going to be a spike in energy prices, and that doesn't help our economy at all.
Quite interesting to see the reaction of China, because they didn't condemn the Russian invasion but asked for restraint on both sides. How is this going to shape global politics?
Well, that's a very interesting and intriguing question, and my short answer is it's too soon to know. And I don't trust Xi Jinping very much either, because he's an autocrat and an ethnic nationalist. He's a Han, and unlike a Russian. But nevertheless, he's a tribalist, and he has designs on Taiwan, and he's already taken away the democracy in Hong Kong to an almost total degree, and he's tough on the Muslim minorities there, the Uyghurs. So he's a good ethnic nationalist who's got his eye on the greater China area. But you know, Taiwan is a democracy, and Taiwan people have voted repeatedly for democratic leaders and have a lively and free and open society. And that's not what China is. But we don't know where Xi Jinping's caution right now is very intriguing to me, because I think he may think that Putin's maybe overplayed his hand, but everybody's going to be watching very carefully to see what happens next.
I suppose it's expected that Iran came out and said, look, the West is actually culpable. It's not entirely on Russia here. But with that in mind, are there some validity to Vladimir Putin's concerns? There were attempts, I think it was in 2019, from France to address Russia's security concerns, which, according to some opinion and reports, have been largely ignored.
Well, you know, the Russian people have not spoken. We know that Putin has a gripe about the loss of dominance and prominence, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I don't excuse American adventurism. The Iraq War was launched on faulty intelligence or cooked up intelligence, and so was the Vietnam War. And America's got a terrible history of aligning with the apartheid regime down here, of suppressing black freedom and equality historically from slavery on down. So every society has got its own scars. But at this moment, Biden has been performing, I think, very admirably in sticking to diplomacy as long as he could. Now we're going to have to see what sanctions do. But Putin, on the other hand, is hell-bent on a greater Russia. And it is a classic big power politics play to get a colony. And he wants to subsume the Ukrainians. And the Ukrainian people have voted by huge margins for independence. And the current prime minister is an ex-comedian, but 73% of the vote. And that's good enough for me. If Ukraine wanted to join Russia voluntarily, fine. But it wants to join the West. And that's unfortunate reality. That's, I'm not passing judgment whether that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's what people want to do.
Lastly, Professor, where does this leave the Ukraine? They instituted martial law earlier today, but expectedly with reports coming out, particularly of the various cities that have come under attack, the mood expectedly is somber. People are panicking, going to the banks. The ATMs have run out. People are panic shopping. It really isn't a great situation on the ground.
Well, it's not a great situation on the ground, and what we're going to have to watch in the days ahead, civil attacks and civil action against the occupying Russian troops. There's an estimate that I read recently that Russia will be in control of half of Ukraine by nightfall tonight, and they've got 900,000 duty troops. Ukraine's got at best a couple hundred thousand, but the Russians have all the technology, all the heavy equipment, all the cyber weapons that they've been using and deploying to sort of complicate the communications there. I've seen some of the pictures, and it's gruesome. It's just gruesome, and there's going to be a lot of people fleeing as refugees, of course, into Western Europe. So we have to wait and see, but Russia is so much more powerful, and this notion that the Ukrainians would attack Russia is, or present a security threat to Russia, is nonsense, except that the Russian people might want to move to the West as well. You know, there's a lot of strength left in democracy.
John Strimlau, Honorary Professor of International Relations at the University of the Witwatersrand. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.